Good morning. You can be honest. How many of you had pet rocks? A few. I wouldn't have guessed it. Well, there's an old saying among preachers when we go on a little too long in our sermons, and which we all do from time to time, people will say, time to land the plane. You've been circling, and you've made your points, but time to land that plane. And everyone's been sitting here for a while. Our legs are getting cramped. We need to get off this plane. Will you please land? Well, this morning before takeoff, I decided to run my sermon past my chief engineer, my air traffic controller, my wife, before coming in. And I wanted to make sure that we didn't run into this kind of situation. So I read her my sermon, and she said, well, it's not so much that I'm concerned you won't be able to land. It's that I don't know if you should really take off. With that vote of confidence, let us pray. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, we pray to you today in the sure confidence that you are with us, that you are steadfast like a rock, and we are building our house upon that strong foundation. May your words be open to us, and may my words speak your truth. In Christ we pray, amen. Well, today we are beginning a kind of mini sermon series, kind of unintentional actually, where Pastor Chris and I will be looking at the epistle of 1 Peter for the next few weeks. An epistle is just a fancy Bible word for a letter. And so we're going to be looking at and learning from this letter of 1 Peter in the weeks to come. The passage that we read together today is about a people who are looking for a reference point for their lives. A people who are looking for something to orient themselves around in their life. The epistle of 1 Peter was written to a group of five small churches out in the province of Asia. That's in modern-day Turkey. And the people in those churches were part of what's called the dispersion. They had been dispersed. They're referred to in this letter as exiles and as resident aliens. They're not from there, but that's where they're living now. These are people who used to live somewhere else, whose lives were formed around other patterns and programs, who had other routines that they were used to. But you see, now they've been displaced. So they find themselves in this whole new life situation. And the question that hangs over this entire letter is, how shall we live? How shall we orient our lives in this new situation in which we find ourselves? We remember that the letter of 1 Peter was written towards the end of the first century, maybe in the year 90 or 95, possibly even later. So this is after the momentous events of the year 70. 70 AD, in that first century, we remember, is the year that the Jewish resistance fighters in Jerusalem were finally defeated by the Roman military. So the resistance was defeated and the temple was destroyed. This was a moment of crisis for the Jews and also for the early Christians, who were really Jewish Christians. Without a temple, the temple had been the central stone monument around which all of life revolved. It was the place where everyone came for sacrifices, where they brought themselves in a spiritual sense, where they were renewed in order to be sent out. The temple was so central, but now it was gone, destroyed. These people had been scattered out like seeds out into the empire, dispersed from where they had lived. And so now they needed to figure out what it would look like to live out their Christian faith in a new setting, in a changed situation. So this is a letter that's written to them. But I want to suggest to you today that it's also a letter that's written to us. I wonder how that community in 1 Peter might be something like our community here at Providence Presbyterian Church. Not all of us, but many of us have come from other places in our lives, other places in this country or in the world. And we've come here for various reasons. We've been dislocated or relocated for family or for jobs or for school. And now the question that was asked to that community in 1 Peter's time is asked to us as well. How then shall we live? how shall we order our lives together in this new and changed situation? So that's the question that 1 Peter is addressing, and it's our question as well. The text begins with an imperative. An imperative is like a command. In Spanish, it would be the mandato form. It's a mandate. It says, come to Christ. Come to Christ, or keep coming to Christ. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. That's the command. And then it says, like living stones yourselves, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to Jesus Christ. The days when the sacrifices would be offered by a priest in a certain way in a central temple back in Jerusalem were over. This is a new context for their faith. Things will be different. And so it is for us. All who gather into our worship and our life together as a church, we all leave something behind of where we've been, how things used to be. We also gain something new as we worship together in a new way. It's interesting that we've been having these conversations around the church recently about this very topic. Yesterday, we gathered for downstairs with 15 or 16 of us to talk about Christian formation, about our Christian education program here at the church. What is the future going to look like? What are our values? How do we want to transmit our faith to the next generation, to our children and youth? Last week, Pastor Murray was preaching, and we had a conversation after worship about our community outreach. How shall we reach out to those around us? How will we show Christ's love to the world? What are we going to do in this new situation in which we find ourselves? And somebody yesterday made an astute observation as we were sharing. They said, there have been so many new ideas and good things about what we might do or be here at the church, and so many of them are related to who we used to be or where we come from. There's always this dynamic tension going on between who we've been, where we've lived, and where we are now, and who we're becoming. We don't need to jettison all that we've been. We bring it with us, but we also are being changed, renewed, remade into something that God has in store for us. So Peter was writing to those folks who were in the midst of great change, to encourage them and reassure them. He said, the stones that made up that old temple, which was the central feature of your life together, are gone. They've been destroyed. They're not coming back. But now let me reorient you in a new way around Christ, who is a living stone. Christ, who's a living stone. He goes on to explain what this stone imagery will mean. So the central image of the passage is clearly a stone, a living stone that's being built into a spiritual house. This is a picture of the Christian life, church, and community. It's being built up not with bricks and mortar, but now with living stones, with people who are living together in the fellowship of the Spirit. The image that Peter is referencing here is that of a Roman archway, where stones are put on stones, built up side by side until the very top. And that very top piece is the capstone. And he says that Christ is like that capstone. It's the piece that holds all the rest together. It's the one who completes the arch. Jesus is our capstone as well. Christ completes our faith and holds us in communion. Diverse, disparate, and different as we are also one in Christ. So Christ is a capstone to the arch. And then again, Christ is also a cornerstone, it says. The cornerstone is the part of the building as a foundation is laid. It orients the direction in which the walls will be laid. The cornerstone needs to be just right, at the correct angles and the right size, because all the rest of the building will be built out on those angles. Help me for a minute. Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifting snow. You got it better than me. I was thinking about that old nursery rhyme this last week as I traveled down to Washington, D.C. I've been going down to my grandmother's house there for many years. She lives in Arlington, just outside of D.C., and we brought Abigail down to meet her great-grandmother for the first time. This was very exciting. It's always really easy to find my grandmother's house on a map because it's in a very special location. It's right across the street from one of the original boundary markers of the city of Washington, D.C. This is back in 1791. Yes, we're talking about 230 years ago. 1791, the original stones were laid all the way around Washington, D.C. for a new city that was going to be built. I want to show you on a map here so you get a better idea of what this looks like, thanks to Google Maps for their help. These are the locations of the original 40 stones that were laid in a 10-mile by 10-mile diamond pattern. A man named Andrew Ellicott and his surveying crew, they spent 2 years traveling through what was then the wilderness of Maryland and Virginia, mapping out all of these stones, and they laid them for the city to be built. Subsequently, part of Virginia got their part back, so that's why D.C. does not look like a diamond today. But there in the southwest corner, right up there where it says Falls Church, that very cornerstone is where my grandmother's house is. If I ever get lost when running or driving, I just go to that very spot because that's where my grandmother lives. It's the cornerstone which was laid first, and then those other lines were drawn out from it. The cornerstone orients the rest of the building. When I was growing up, one of the Bible verses that I memorized was from Psalm 119, and it said this: "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to God's word." And we could add, how can a young woman keep her way pure? How could any of us, old or young, keep our way pure or right with God? How can we know God's intention for us? And the answer comes by living according to God's word. But how can we know what that is? How can we know God's will for our lives? In a world where the old stone edifices have begun to crumble and where the familiar monuments no longer stand to orient us in the way that they used to, how will we live? How will we be oriented in our lives? And this passage that we're reading today offers us three important answers to this question. So these are three important answers from Peter. The first is this. Number one, as we are being built into a spiritual house, Christ, the living stone, is the capstone around all the other stones. Christ is the capstone for all the other stones. That is to say, we as a spiritual community are being built up together. We're meant for community. We discern God's will in community. We share the life of the Spirit in community. And all of these things are held together by Christ, the capstone. So the first part about living our lives as God would have us is in community. That's what we're made for. Number two is that Christ is our cornerstone. Christ is the capstone. Christ is the cornerstone. So that in all we do, we are being oriented by Christ himself. He's the cornerstone, the one who determines how we shall grow. In these days, in these transitions of leadership and new ideas for our church, we're trying to figure out what comes next. We're having conversations, we're discussing ideas, and in all things, we seek to be shaped by Christ at the corner, the one who directs the way we will build our walls, the way we will build our lives, the way we will build this spiritual house. And then third, how can we live in this changing life situation? I want to go back to the beginning of this verse, along with Christ as the capstone, Christ as the cornerstone, we also know it says, come to Christ. Keep coming to Christ. Because even when temples crumble, and when old stone monuments fall down, and even when Google Maps fails, if that should ever happen, we know that Christ will not fail or fall. That though we stumble, God will not fall. And so come to Christ is my final word to you today as I seek to land this plane. Come to Christ in your heart and in your mind and in how you live as you move out from this place into the week ahead. Come to Christ. Amen.
Let's all stand.